And then the Buddha proceeds to list all the different kinds of beings that, you know, using a particular scheme from, you know, ancient India. You know, ancient India obviously saw beings being moisture-born, presumably certain kinds of insects and things like that, because they didn't have microscopes and all the rest of it. So he just goes through all the different kinds of beings, from the lowest, simplest life form through, in fact, to the formless gods, these beings without form, these beings with neither perception nor non-perception, and everything in between. What he's evoking is every single kind of being that you can imagine, every possible being, every type of being, of all sorts of different shapes and sizes and all the rest of it. So what is being evoked in these few words is the vastness and variety of beings. The Bodhisattva is truly a Mahasattva, a great being, because he embraces all beings, every possible being. It's a staggering prospect. I mean, it's hard enough, isn't it, to encompass every kind of human being that we encounter. It's hard enough, you know, on this retreat to try and encompass all the different kinds of humans that are here and all the different shapes and sizes that we are, and, you know, how we appear to one another. That's kind of difficult. You know, I know sometimes people feel overwhelmed in large numbers on retreats. You know, people regard this as large numbers. That's a staggering prospect. You know, think of human beings, all the different nationalities, all the different types. Goodness me, it's just staggering to think of all human beings. But this goes further. It's all possible beings. As far as any conceivable form of beings is conceived, each and every single being, all these I must lead to nirvana, into the realm of nirvana, which leaves nothing behind. Extraordinary, you know, expression. All of these beings, the Bodhisattva vows to lead into nirvana, the nirvana without remainder. So the mind, the heart that we're being asked to generate is a vast heart. This is the kind of heart that we're actually trying to develop in the Metta Bhavana. At the end of the practice, the culmination of the practice, we're developing, unfolding a heart that embraces all beings. You find this in the Karaniya Metta Sutta, a beautiful Pali text that Sangharakshita has done a commentary on. You know, they go through again different kinds of beings, small, large, seen, unseen, gross, subtle, you know, fat, thin, doesn't use that expression, but that's what they mean. Those about to be born, near, far, all kinds of beings again. This isn't a case, I think, in the Metta practice of forcing the mind to enlarge. This is very, very important. That's not what we're doing. It's actually about developing in the Metta practice a friendly, responsive, empathic heart and mind. In the Metta practice, we're becoming a friendly, responsive, empathic being. We're becoming a being that can empathize, respond to any form of life that appears to us. Whatever form life takes, whenever we encounter a different form, we have a responsive heart, a responsive mind, a friendly mind. However it looks, whatever shape it is, whatever clothes it's wearing, they wear, the response is one of a trembling mind. I use the word trembling. There's a beautiful term in Sanskrit, anukampa, which literally means to tremble with, and it's often the word that's translated as compassion, but it literally is a trembling with. You respond with friendliness, with empathy to whatever kind of being is presented to you. It reminds me of a lovely phrase from a great Arabic poet from Spain, Ibn Arabi. In one of his poems he says, "Oh marvel, my heart has become capable of every form." Very, very beautiful expression. His heart is capable of any form. It's capable of being any being, capable of responding to any being. His heart will take the shape of whatever is put before it. So we need to be developing a mind capable of any form that can empathise with any form of life. We feel our sense of life very vividly and strongly. So whatever life is presented to us, our response is one of empathy, friendliness, kindness. Whether it's insects, animals, ghosts, men, women, young, old, fat, thin, whatever colour, whatever creed, whatever nationality, gods, demons, creatures from outer space. I was watching Doctor Who the other day, all these weird creatures, and I thought, well, you know, this is what the Diamond Sutra is getting at, that you would, you know, if you do come across these weird creatures, well, you'd respond with a loving heart. So this is very important. I think it's very significant that the Buddha goes through different categories of being, different kinds of beings, because it's so easy to get abstract. We say all beings, or we say humanity, or the world. And that's an abstraction. We need to get specific. We need to think about types of being, types of people. And that's why the four stages of the Metta-Bhavana are so important and so beautiful, because you know, you develop empathy for the particular, for particular people, particular beings, yourself, a friend, a neutral person, somebody you dislike. You know, you go to them, you go to, you know, especially to those people you find difficult or weird, you have problems with, you go to them and you sit with them and you start to learn to empathise with them. So important. So easy when one talks about humanity to avoid, you know, you can get very sentimental about it, but you can actually exclude, you know, that which is difficult, those that are difficult or strange.